Guinness and giggled. "Oh, Mr. Ress," she said, "you'll be thinking I'm trying to get you tiddly." He grunted. There was a formality that had to be observed in all this. Witchfinder Sergeant Shadwell took a long, deep drink of Guinness, and he popped the question. Madam Tracy giggled. "Honestly, you old silly," she said, and she blushed a deep red. "How many do you think?" He popped it again.
"Two,"
said Madam Tracy.
"Ah, well, that's all right, then," said Witchfinder Sergeant Shadwell, retired.
It was Sunday afternoon. High over England, a 747 droned westwards. In the first-class cabin, a boy called Warlock put down his comic and stared out of the window. It had been a very strange couple of days. He still wasn't certain why his father had been called to the Middle East. He was pretty sure that his father didn't know either. It was probably something cultural. All that had happened was a lot of funny-looking guys with towels on their heads and very bad teeth had shown them around some old ruins. As ruins went, Warlock had seen better. And then one of the old guys had said to him, wasn't there anything he wanted to do? And Warlock had said he wanted to go home. They'd looked very unhappy about that. Warlock hadn't meant the States. He'd been back there lots of times, of course, but he liked England. It was a nice country to be an American in. He'd always felt at home there. The plane was, at that point, passing right above the lower Tadfield bedroom of Greasy Johnson, who was aimlessly leafing through a photography magazine that he'd bought merely because it had a rather good picture of a tropical fish on the cover. A few pages below Greasy's listless finger was a spread on American football and how it was really catching on in Europe, which was odd, because when the magazine had been printed, those pages had been about photography in desert conditions. It was about to change his life. And Warlock flew on to America. Perhaps he also deserved something. After all, you never forgot the first friends you ever had, even if you were all a few hours old at the time. But the power that was controlling the fate of all mankind at that precise time was thinking, well, he's going to America, isn't he? Don't see how you could have got anything better than going to America. They've got 39 flavours of ice cream there. Maybe even more. There were a million exciting things a boy and his dog could be doing on a Sunday afternoon. Adam could think of 400 or 500 of them without even trying. Thrilling things, stirring things, planets to be conquered, lions to be tamed, lost South American worlds teeming with dinosaurs to be discovered and befriended. He sat in the garden and scratched in the dirt with a pebble, looking despondent. His father had found Adam asleep on his return from the airbase, sleeping to all intents and purposes as if he had been in bed all evening, even snoring once in a while for verisimilitude. At breakfast the next morning, however, it was made clear that this had not been enough. Mr. Young disliked gallivanting about of a Saturday evening on a wild goose chase. And if, by some unimaginable fluke, Adam was not responsible for the night's disturbances, whatever they'd been, since nobody seemed very clear on the details, only that there had been disturbances of some sort, then he was undoubtedly guilty of something. This was Mr. Young's attitude, and it had served him well for the last 11 years. Adam sat dispiritedly in the garden. The August sun hung high in an August blue and cloudless sky, and behind the hedge a thrush sang. But it seemed to Adam that this was simply making it all much worse. Dog sat at Adam's feet. He had tried to help, chiefly by exhuming a bone he had buried 4 days earlier and dragging it to Adam's feet, but all Adam had done was stare at it gloomily, and eventually Dog had taken it away and inhumed it once more. He had done all he could.
"Adam?"
Adam turned. Three faces stared over the garden fence. "Hi," said Adam disconsolately.
"There's a circus come to Norton," said Pepper. "Wensley was down there and he saw them. They're just setting up. They've got tents and elephants and jugglers and practically wild animals and stuff and everything," said Wensleydale.
"We thought maybe we'd all go down there and watch them setting up," said Brian.
For an instant, Adam's mind swam with visions of circuses. Circuses were boring once they were set up. You could see better stuff on television any day, but the setting up. Of course they'd all go down there, and they'd help them put up the tents and wash the elephants, and the circus people would be so impressed with Adam's natural rapport with animals and such that that night Adam and Dog, the world's most famous performing mongrel, would lead the elephants into the circus ring, and it was no good. He shook his head sadly. "Can't go anywhere," he said. "They said so." There was a pause.
"Adam," said Pepper, a trifle uneasily, "what did happen last night?"
Adam shrugged.
"Just stuff,"